All right, we're going to continue on acceleration restoration. Now, it's been a month since I've preached on this. I'm going to do a little backup so that you can get on the train because the train's going to be going pretty fast. And so here we go on this. You know that there are times and seasons. I mean, the Bible says that. There are times and seasons for everything. And we understand seasons here in Texas. We've got two of them. We've got fall and summer. Just a few couple months of fall and the rest of it's summertime. And so, but we know a little bit about seasons. Well, I'm telling you that not only in the seasons of life, but in their spiritual life, there are seasons. Well, it's important for you to recognize the season. But what I'm going to present to you today out of the Word is that by His grace, the season of growing and harvesting is on. Hey, it's on. You say, well, you know, it takes other people a number of decades to get to the place. Wait, wait, wait. He can redeem the time. If you say, well, you know, we've got to, you know, do this and do that, and we've got to grow in this and grow in that. Yes, growing's important. But I want to tell you, God can expedite the time of His working in your life. And so our focus is not to be on us. And it's not to compare ourselves one to another, compare ourselves to another church, or compare yourself to another believer. I want to tell you, Jesus is your purpose. Jesus is your marker. And I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to bring you to the place that you respond more like His Son, because He's going to reveal His Son to you. And guess what? He transforms us continually into the image of His Son. And so even though when you receive Christ, you get it all of Jesus. But I want to tell you something. It's very, very exciting for us to become more and more like Him in our journey. And that's going to start with our thinking. We got to renew our minds on this. And I'm just going to announce to you that we're on a wave of grace. And a wave of grace is exciting. My boys were small. I took them down to Corpus Christi, and we were there in that part of the Gulf, and Gulf of the United States, Gulf of America, and you know, we were enjoying the beach, and there were some waves coming in at a particular beach. There were some waves coming in pretty good, and so I put Zach, he was my oldest, but he was young about that time, about 6 years old, and I put him on this little board that we had, little ski board, I don't know really what to call it, but man, I took him out as far as I could, neck deep, and the waves was coming in, and I'd get him on a good wave and give him a push, and he'd be able to ride that wave all the way into the beach. You understand that? He loved it. I wore out before he did, okay, because I would have to follow him in and carry him back out there. But I want to tell you, he had so much fun with that, and that's the picture that the Lord gave me when I was receiving from the Lord the theme of this year, 2026, for Freedom Life Fellowship, for this church, for your family, for you, is acceleration restoration. And you know what it is? It's not by our works, it's by His works. Somebody say grace. But I want to tell you something. Our job is just to do like Zach did and ride the wave all the way in. Because grace is Jesus, and riding the wave is just the works of the Holy Spirit manifesting in us. And when it's God doing it, there's a lot to rejoice in. And no man can take the credit. Somebody say amen for that. And so I want to just announce to you, we're not dependent upon the world for our victory. Not in your life, not in your family, not in this church. We're not dependent upon the world. Okay, it doesn't matter what's happening out there. It's what God's doing in here that makes the difference. And I know a lot of people want to say, well, you know, I even have pastors say to me, well, brother, we're just in a different time of living, and it's just dark, 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 dark out there. Okay, I guess it would be denial to say it's not dark out there, but I want to announce something to you. It's always been dark out there. But I'm giving you some good news. There's light. Jesus is the light. And since we have Jesus, guess what? According to the Word, we are the light of the world. And we're not to hide the light of Jesus, the life of Jesus. the love of Jesus under a bushel. We're not to hide it, pretend that it's not real. We're just to release him. Let him be real in your life and let the light shine. And I want to tell you, there's things that happen when you let the light shine. And so will the world get darker and darker? Well, I want to tell you, you shouldn't even notice, because you're not focused on the darkness. You're focused on the light. And when you're, whatever you focus on is what you're going to see. And so I'm telling you, let's be focused on Jesus. Let's be focused on the light. And I want to tell you something. Yes, you're going to be aware that there's darkness out there, but you're going to be more excited and more fulfilled and more enjoying the wave of grace of the light of what God's saying and what God's doing than anything darkness has to say. I know we kind of at a disadvantage in this generation only because of the fact that we get dark information from all the way around the world the very minute it happens. You understand it. Even when the Civil War was over, it took months for everybody in this country to even know it. I want to tell you something. There can be a plane, DFW, that has to turn around and land. And it's all around the world. And you know what? Hey, here it is. Here's the thing. Fear. Anger. You know what they're going to say? How safe is your flight travel? You know? And I want to tell you something. That's just the way the world operates. You don't have to focus on fear. You don't have to focus on the dark. Our part is to focus on the light. And I want to tell you something. God can transport you, whether it's been by plane or by spirit. He can transport you. And I want to tell you what, you're safe when you're transporting by the blood of Jesus, because there's divine protection in him. And so I'm just announcing to you, yes, it's dark out there. I'm not denying that, but I'm saying to you that the light is getting brighter and brighter. You say, oh, Brother Tim, you're just trying to do a cheer. No, this is Bible, Isaiah 60. Verse 2 and 3, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, dense darkness all peoples, but the Lord, yeah. Oh man, I love that, shall arise upon you. Anybody got Jesus in you? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, his glory needs to be seen on you. That's the real, is let his glory be seen on you. And verse 3, and nations shall come to your light. Now, wait a minute. These are the same nations that are in darkness. But I want to tell you, light's greater than darkness. Darkness, hey, dissipates when light shows up. Darkness is weak. Ever since the cross, we can say this boldly. Darkness is weak and light is strong. And I want to tell you, you're on the light team. You're on the Jesus team. And you know what? It's to be brighter and brighter. And nations shall come to your light. You know what that's saying to me? Is that people from every kind of background, hey, every kind of nation will come to the light that's being shined bright at Freedom Life Fellowship. That's our purpose. That's part of our goal. And you know what? We need to see that. And so when you see that, it'll be a whole lot easier for you to see the seats filled. Filled seats. Why? Because God loves hearts. And he said, son, bring me your heart. Okay, he wants hearts. And so you bring people to church, you introduce them to the light and the love of Jesus that will absolutely dissipate the darkness in their life, because there's transformation. We become a different citizen when we come to Christ. We have a different country because we're kingdom people. And I want to tell you, he's powerful. And he changes our life from darkness to light. Look at this. Nations shall come, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. And so I want to tell you, you influence people by the light of Jesus shining through you. And I want to tell you, people that are influenced, influencer people, people of position, people of prominence will come to the light. Why? Because they need it. And Jesus is the answer. And so it's our part of our purpose to present Jesus. Look at this verse right here. This is in Joel 2, 23 through 25. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he gives, do you see our position? Is to be glad and to rejoice. I want to tell you, if your countenance looks like you've been eating sour pickles, you're not going to attract anybody to Jesus. But I want to tell you, when you touch and walk in the joy and the peace and the love of the Lord, your countenance will reflect it. Wait, your words will reflect it. Wait, your actions will reflect it. And so this is why it's so powerful. This is our part, to be glad and to be rejoicing in our Lord, because he gives you the former and early rain in just measure and in righteousness. He causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain as before. Now, let me tell you something. A great picture in the Bible is that water is the word of God. Wow, man, that's there. And so I'm telling you, listen to me. Hey, ever since the day of Pentecost, the Lord has poured out his Spirit, and it never says he took it back. There's a pouring out of his Spirit. I want to tell you, I'm giving you this picture. He turned the hydrant on from heaven full speed. It's on. It has been on. It's never cut off. Now, wait a minute. It's possible for us to turn it off. Because you can say no to them. And I want to tell you, you picture that hydrant from heaven turned all the way on. How many of you know it's kind of like what I have in the backyard? It's on from the street, but I've got another little valve that can turn it down or turn it off. We have the ability to do that by saying no to God, by resisting, by not walking with him. But I'm here to tell you, our part is to cooperate, to consent, to cooperate with the Lord and turn the hydrant on our end. See, that's in our soul. Turn it on in our end so what's in our spirit can come out into our soul and affect our body, affect the outside, affect others. Anybody see that? Thank you, because that helps me preach faster. And so our part is to receive the rain. Man, be saturated, not like the little sprinkle. I want to tell you what we like in Texas. Because there are famines sometimes in Texas. And I want to tell you something. There's famine not with the word of God being spoken. There's famine with people hearing the word of God. And so I'm telling you, be sure that you're hearing the heartbeat of the Lord and seeing God, seeing Jesus in the word, and saturate. See, what we like in Texas are those slow, saturating rains. That's what the kingdom of God wants for you, because it's raining. And I want to tell you, what we receive from God will go back and be based on what we see from the Lord in the Word. Amen. And so see Jesus in the Word. Be saturated. Don't be satisfied with just a sip. I'm telling you, the church is dehydrated. If you're dehydrated, you're dying. I want to tell you something about drinking water. You need to drink more than you think you do. When you think you're full of water, it's probably about right, because everything in your system operates off of water. It's that way in the kingdom. I want to tell you, you may think that you're kind of doing okay, but I want to tell you, if you've had any athletic experience at all, you know that if you wait till you get thirsty, it's too late. And so I'm telling you, saturate yourself in the word. Receive the rain. Somebody say, receive the rain. When you receive the rain, this is what's going to happen in verse 24. The threshing floors, the harvest, your barn will be full of grain, and vats shall overflow with juice of the grape. Now, I want to tell you, I can't see that without thinking about communion. The grain and the juice. Boy, we just practiced that. The celebration of his finished works. I had one Dr. So-and-so come to one of our meetings one time, specifically to watch us in communion, because word had gotten out that while by practicing communion corporately in the church, there were people getting healed during communion. And he come to kind of investigate. And he told me afterward, he said, little buddy, he said, you're making way too much of communion. I said, I'm just trying to celebrate the finished works. I want to make a lot about the finished works. And I want to tell you something. When we practice receiving the rain, we're going to see the benefits of the finished works happening around us without us grunting, without us sweating, because it's going to be a manifestation of the Lord. Well, how do you say that, Pastor Tim? Because the last part of that verse 24 says oil. who is represented by oil is the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, it's by him that we're going to see the manifestation, the benefits of the works, the finished works being taken place in our life. And you know what? We're going to say, wow, just like everybody else, because the Holy Spirit is going to make sure that Jesus gets the honor and glory. And look what happens. When we practice receiving the rain, we receive restoration. Verse 25, I will restore. Who's going to do it? The Lord will. It's not something we do ourselves. It's something that he does. Let me say it like this. It's a byproduct of receiving the rain, recognizing, experiencing the finished works in your life, in your home, in this church. Then guess what happens? He restores and replaces for you the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, I say it like this because the locust represents the enemy. And I just going to say it like this. You know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I don't know. We all got different stories, but we all need to reflect his story. But I want to tell you something. You know, I dare say everybody here has some area, some arena of their life that the enemy has stolen, brought death to, destroyed. I want to tell you, our part is not to do the restoring. Our part is to receive the restoring. But we receive the restoring by receiving the rain, the water of the word, saturating in the word. Somebody say amen. Amen. That helps me preach faster. So 2026, this is the theme the Lord gave me back during the summer. I've been working on it back during the summer. It's why I could preach 2 or 3 months on it, but I won't. But acceleration, restoration, God wants us to rest and receive and walk it out. There's something to do with it. We have a part, and that's to walk it out, to apply it. The way we receive our rest from him, receive the rain, is just one step at a time. You know what? Enjoying the Lord. Are you enjoying the Lord? See, that's a testimony of whether or not you're in tune with his heartbeat. Are you enjoying him? Because I want to tell you something, he's enjoyable. And that's a good witness about your love life with the Lord. Are you enjoying him? Because I want to tell you, one step at a time, you follow him. And guess what? He will do. He will lead you to a higher level of knowing him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He wants to reveal Jesus to you. And from the benefits of the cross to breakthroughs. Is that a good picture? Because when we recognize and receive the benefits of the cross, then I want to tell you something. Breakthroughs come. Breakthroughs happen. Victories happen. Maybe things that we've struggled with for years or our family has struggled with through generations, we get breakthroughs because we can be a transition generation because of Jesus. Well, we need to believe for this. And so John 2. First part of John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding at the Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And I know I touched on this last time I preached, so I'm just going to mention it. Jesus also was invited with his disciples at the wedding. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Thank you, Mother Mary, because that's a key for us receiving the supernatural. Now, don't misunderstand. It's not by your doing. It's by your following. It's by you obeying the prompting of his voice. You can pray for restoration. You can pray for acceleration, restoration. That's his heartbeat for you. I'm trying to show you that in the next 2 weeks. That's his heartbeat for you. But I want to tell you something. If you say no to applying it, you've said no. You've put the brakes on. Now you say, well, Brother Tim, if God wants to do it, he'll do it without me. No, he wants to do it with you. And so please understand it. But with your cooperation, anything that he wants can take place. And so his mother told the servants, whatever he says to you to do, do it. Now I want to tell you, and I shared this with you because this is a miracle. This is his recorded first miracle. Let me tell you about a miracle. It's a supernatural expression of God's loving kindness. It's supernatural acceleration of time and space into your situation. That's your Jesus. He's Lord of time and he's Lord of space. I told you he was Lord of time because it would take, and experts say it takes up to 10 years of grape life to produce the best of wine. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus accelerated all that because all he did was walk by that 120 gallons of water, just walked by it and released his glory to it. And the glory of the Lord on that water blushed with best tasting wine. As a matter of fact, I think it was the best that earth had ever tasted. As a matter of fact, I think it came right out of heaven. And so I'm just announcing to you that he's the Lord of time. And so I'm fixing to apply this to you, but I want to tell you something in the same way. See, this is what a supernatural, this is what a miracle is. He manifests on you that he's the Lord of time. Why? Because the world will tell you it'll take decades. It'll take a long time. The world will make statements to you, you'll never recover from this. Well, I want to tell you something. Let God be true and every man a liar. Because I want to tell you, you line up with God's truth and you believe in God's truth that he can super accelerate this in your life because he's revealing who he really is, who he wants to be in your life. The healing of the nobleman's son. This also took place in the same city. And so he came to Capernaum. Now, I want to tell you, this is the marathon. It's 26.2 miles from one place to the other. The nobleman had traveled that far to appeal and beg Jesus to come heal his loved one. And I want to tell you, Jesus just spoke the word and said, go your way, it's done. And I want to tell you, as he's traveling, his people come from the house and catch him on the roadway and say, hey, there's been a great recovery. He's healed. And he asked, this is in Scripture. There's no insignificant detail in Scripture. He asked that servant, what time was it? And the servant told him it was the same time that Jesus spoke the word, 1 o'clock. And so I want to tell you, he's the Lord of time. He's the Lord of space. He's not limited by distance. And I know some of you may think, well, I'm not as close to the Lord as I used to be. Well, I want to tell you something. He hasn't moved. And it's a lie that he's way up there and you're way down here. And he's not able to. No. I want to tell you, your relationship with him has never changed if you've given your heart to Christ. He's never left. He's always the very present help in time of trouble. And I'm announcing to you that he's the Lord of space and distance because he's very, very present. He's very, very powerful. He's not limited the way the world is. And John 2:11 says, this is the first of his signs. These two signs took place in the same city, the Cana of Galilee. And John 2:11 says this, and it manifested his glory. It displayed his greatness and his power openly. That's what the testimony of our life needs to reflect. That it's way beyond me. It's not my gifting or my talent. It's way beyond me. It's the glory of the Lord and the greatness of his power. That's how we live. Amen, Brother Tim. And the result of this in 2:11 is that the disciples believed in him. And so I'm telling you, his miracles will be more prevalent in our life as we focus and receive the rain and the restoration. Miracles will happen around us, and it won't have any man's name on it. It'll have the Lord's name on it because it'll be him, and he'll receive honor and glory for it. And so this year, by God's grace, resting and receiving, you'll find yourself because of his favor, that's Jesus, because of his favor, you'll find yourself being at the right place, at the right time, with the right people for God to manifest his power. Wow. Doctors may tell you that healing's impossible or it's going to take years. Trust God for acceleration, restoration in your healing. Experts may say it'll take you the rest of your life to recover financially. to be out of debt, to recover financially. Let's trust the Lord for restoration, acceleration in our finances. Hey, how about pray for a miraculous removal of debt? Wait a minute. There's examples in Scripture that show that God can step into your life and he can manifest a miracle of restoration financially. Am I right?
Yes.
Don't listen to the world. Look at the Bible and see the God of the Bible and see the heartbeat of Jesus in this. And so it may be in relationships. You may say, well, we've been a mess for years and, you know, we're just plain water. There's nothing special there. I'm telling you, restoration, acceleration, in your marriage can turn your marriage from plain water to sparkling wine, because that's how powerful he is. He can restore what the enemy has stolen, and all the people said. This is how we need to look at Jesus. He's your loving Father. Hey, he holds the universe in his hands. And listen to me, he cares for you. And let me say it like this, he has paid for it to be so. Romans 8:28, you know it well. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor. Somebody say joint heir. Yeah, he's a joint heir with you. You're not on your own. You have a joint heir, and he's the champion of the world. Hey, not only in your corner, but walking with you step by step. And he is able to cause all things to work together, fitting into a plan, his plan, for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Now, people sometimes see that last part and say, no, it's not rut-row. You know what it is? That's a simple description of that is to follow him. Yeah. It's to follow the Lord. And I want to tell you, he will draw you and court you to himself. And his love life is so much better than you've ever tasted or ever known that you'll be declaring what the Old Testament says. Oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. He's sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. He's beautiful. And I want to tell you, he ministers life and light to you. And I want to tell you, this grace causes you to run to him, not from him. And I want to tell you, he redeems every event and circumstance for your good and his glory when you follow him. I want to tell you what following him is. It's saying yes, and it's applying it. And sometimes he'll give you one step to take in that direction. And you may look at that one step and say, I don't see how this is going to end up there. But you take that one step in the Lord, and you know what he does? Hey, he comes alongside you, and he gives you another step. It may start out as a lamp into your feet, but it becomes a light to your path, and you get direction when you follow him, because he's a joint heir. And part of follow means this. It means to yield. Are you yielded to the Lord? It means to submit. Are you submitted to the Lord? It also means to obey what he says. Do what he says, like Mary told those servants, and let God be God. He redeems it. Come and enjoy his rest. Do not limit the Lord. Don't tell him how to solve your problem. Follow his leading. Believing for the impossible honors God, and it pleases him, and it makes heaven shout. And so we need to get out of our comfort zone and say, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you say, I want you. I want to follow you. I want to shine your light as bright. Isaiah 65:24 describes a walk with the Lord, an experience with the Lord. Listen to this, Isaiah 65:24. And it shall be that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Somebody say, wow. Hey, you know what that's like? That's like you're walking with the Lord and you're hearing his desires for you. And even on the inside, you're sharing your desires for him. And you may not have made it a formal prayer. Oh, goodeth, Lordeth, helpeth meeth. It's not formal. Just in your heart. Hey, listen, that sigh in your heart goes high. That moan in your heart goes to the throne. And I want to tell you, Jesus hears it. Jesus answered. He knows your need even before you ask. He loves for you to ask. Why? Because he wants consent. He don't want to do it without you. He wants consent. But when you're walking in a yielded heart, a submitted heart, a following heart, I want to tell you, you're going to see things manifest and take place. Say, wow, I thought about that. The Lord knows my thoughts. He knows the desires of my heart. He's meeting the desires of my heart before I even make a formal prayer request about it. Wow. Now, isn't that fun? He's supernatural to us, and it's not just for us. See, this is where Christians misstep. It's not just about you. It's about others. Hey, we're blessed to be a blessing. If you're keeping the revelation and the insight to yourself, if you're keeping the blessing to yourself, then I want to tell you this, like, Lord, just bless my four and no more. That's not kingdom heart. As a matter of fact, the description of prosperity in Scripture is having more than enough so you can give to whatever the need is, so that you can be a blessing. Everybody say, I want to be a blessing. He wants you to. It's a journey of discovery, one step at a time. But we can receive acceleration, restoration this year. He shows us a picture of it with the trespass offering in Leviticus. It's Leviticus 6, 4 and 5. Then if he has sinned and is guilty, he shall restore what he took by robbery. I want to tell you, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Or what he has secured by oppression or extortion, what he's delivered him to keep in trust, or the lost thing which he found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall not only restore it to the full, but he shall add to it one-fifth more and give it to him to whom it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. The enemy steals and destroys, but because of the cross, Jesus is our trespass offering. He has taken it for us. And so it doesn't matter what's the name of the company or the people that's misused you or abused you. Jesus and all the offerings, all the sacrifices were pictures of Christ. But this is a beautiful picture of Christ as a trespass offering, because he takes whatever been done wrong to you, he's going to give it back to you because he's your supply. He was your offering. He's going to give it back, not just as good as it was, but with 20% more. That's a fifth more. You know what that is? He's going to restore it 120% compared to what it was. Somebody say, I'm better off. That is the heartbeat of the Lord. And so I want to tell you, he's the much more God. And because of the cross, hey, he's our trespass offering. He makes it redeem and restore better than you. That's the Father's heart for you. Okay, I got just a couple more things, so hang with me. Deuteronomy 11:21. This is a beautiful scripture, and it just absolutely sneaked up on me one day because I looked at it through some other versions. And I'm going to try to share that with you. Deuteronomy 11:21. Talks about the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, I want to tell you something. When Scripture talks about the enemy attacking, and we know the enemy can attack. We know he does attack. But I want to tell you, it's temporary when he does. And the Lord has taken his power away to harm you. As a matter of fact, the Bible's made it clear that when we resist the enemy, he will flee. Now, to resist means to fight back. And so you're not just a bump on a stump. Hey, you know what? We got to follow through. And so when the enemy shows up in your life, you've got the authority because of Jesus. You have the power because of Jesus to tell him to take a hike. He doesn't always leave at the first word. But when the Bible describes the attack of the enemy, even Peter talks about it as a temporary. It's a temporary, not a forever. It's a temporary. If the enemy tells you this is the way you're going to be the rest of your life, he's a liar. Okay? The truth is, Jesus has set us free to receive his freedom. We're called freedom life on purpose. It's the Lord's freedom. But I want to tell you, when the enemy, the Bible talks about the enemy attacking, it talks about a singular day. Now, we know it can be a season. I'm not throwing that out the window. It can be longer than 24 hours. But I want to tell you, the emphasis is there, is that it's temporary and short. Hey, even Paul, with everything that he went through, hey, you know what he describes? And man, we look at the afflictions that he went through, and you ought to feel better about your life. But we look at all that he went through, and he describes it like this. It was light. That's his description. It was light afflictions. And you know what? The Lord has rescued me from them all. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a great perspective that we need to capture. And so when the enemy attacks, you know it's temporary. Look at what verse 21 says. That your days and the days of your children. Does that sound like family blessing to you? Hey, it's church blessing. Church family. It's your family and it's you. Not just for you, but for others. Remember, we're blessed to be a blessing. But look at this. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied. Does that sound like more than a few? Amen. Come on. We love kingdom multiplication. Because kingdom multiplication is not like this world's multiplication. Well, you can take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed thousands of people. That's kingdom multiplication. Well, I want to tell you, he's got kingdom, part of the king, multiplication designed for this church, for your family, and for your life. Do you like that? Well, it's because you love the Lord. He wants to make it so. He wants to manifest it. Look at this, that your days and days of your children may be multiplied. Somebody stop and shout amen. Amen. Yeah, that's for you and for me, because the Lord made all the promises of Scripture, yes and amen, for us. And so the Holy Spirit can personally apply this in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. Now, I thought, boy, that's good, because anytime you can walk outside and see the sky, it means it's on, because his promises are not revoked. He cannot tell a lie. But wait, a lot of times in Hebrew, and I'm not an expert, but a lot of times in Hebrew, there's double meaning. And so sometimes the guys that are interpreting this will, or translate it, say, well, it must mean either this or this. But in some situations, and I'm saying this with this, it's both. Let's read it in the King James. And other versions say it like this too. But I see this in the King James. That your days may be multiplied. Boy, that's good. That's kingdom multiplication. And the days of your children, come on, we want that. Let me just announce to you, anybody that's thinking that God wants you poor and sick and miserable, I want to tell you something, and in bondage to sin, I want to tell you something, that's not the heart of a good father. Jesus came to reveal that he's not just a good father, he's a great, great father. And he says, in comparison, even you want the best for your children. How much more? Somebody say, much more does he want for you? But look what it says in the King James. As the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, boy, I tell you what, that rang a bell with me, because I heard Jesus praying, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. That's his heart. That's his desire. Now, are we talking about a Disneyland, Disney World, perfect walk and experience? No, we live on a battlefield. And the Bible's clear that tough times come, trials come. But I want to tell you something. When you have the kingdom mindset to say that they're temporary and I'm to stand against it, I'm to resist it, I'm not to settle for it, I'm to believe God for better, because he paid for rescue for me, for restoration, for renewal. Come on. And we dare God to believe it. Well, that makes heaven shout. Here's a declaration that I wrote this summer or this fall. And we're just going to read this together, and I'll wrap up with this, okay? It should be up on the screen, probably in your notes. Let's just read this together, because this is the heartbeat that I caught from Father for us in 2026 for Freedom Life Fellowship, for your family and for you. Let's read this together. Just Jesus, no comparisons. Just thanksgiving, no complaints. By grace, believe and receive, no excuses. We are content, but not complacent. We are hungry and thirsty for the much more of God. Do you see that? Look at this. Read this with me. Freedom Life Fellowship is a church of destiny. We will fulfill our calling in the kingdom to be the bride of Christ that looks like, sounds like, and acts like Jesus. We have his name. We have his name, power, purpose, peace, passion. We have his spirit. We live like he is present. He is. We worship like we know we are in his presence. We are. 2026, time to be who we are, to possess our possessions. Let's give him praise. Okay, I'm going to stop here. It's hard for me to stop because there's much more. And I'm going to try to wrap this up next week. But I hope that you're catching the heartbeat of the Father. That when Jesus died on the cross, it was not a defeat for us. It was a victory for us. And I want to tell you something. Ever since then, he pours out his spirit on the day of Pentecost. And it is on, my friend. Full measure. Full speed. And so the question is not, when will God do something? The question from heaven is, when will we believe and receive it? I want to tell you, this is our year. We're not going to settle for less than God's best. And I want to tell you, am I requiring everybody to dot every I and cross every T? No, I'm not. But I'm telling you, the Lord's proven it in his word. If there's a remnant here that will say, I will believe God for the much more this year, in my life, in my family, in my church, then I want to tell you, heaven says it's on. It's on. What is your response to the Lord for this year? Because I'm telling you, hey, when you practice following him, saying yes to him, believing that he is the God of the impossible, that he is the Lord of time and space, and he's not limited like the world limits. He's not limited. Then I want to tell you something. We can be here this time next year. It's going to look different. It's going to be different because we're going to be more like him. But I want to tell you, there's going to be greater and greater expression of the kingdom in our fellowship, in your family, in your life. And I want to tell you something. People are going to be drawn to the light. Not because we tricked them or forced them, but because they see the light. And I want to tell you, light is greater than, more powerful than darkness. The life of Jesus in you dispels death. Amen. And so that's the real Jesus. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And the team's coming. If there's anyone here that has never given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't know about the light. You don't know about the love, but you know enough to know you need it. That's really all it takes. Because you can take what little you know about Jesus, and he'll take everything he knows about you, and he loves you. He forgives you. He wants to receive you as a part of his family. And so I'm telling you, Jesus is here for you. If you've never given your life to Christ, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to say yes to Jesus today. Now, I'm going to ask you, every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here this morning, and you know that you truly, honestly need Jesus. Would you just raise your hand right now? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. At the close of this meeting, there's going to be some elders along here at the front, and these guys standing up at the front, you can come and tell them and say, pray for me, I need Jesus. And you know what? They're just going to pray a simple prayer of faith over you. And I want to tell you, the kingdom of God can be manifested in your life today because that's what he paid for. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of your love. the power of your word. Thank you for the power of your presence. Thank you, Lord, that your love for us is greater than we can even comprehend. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the God of the much more, and that acceleration restoration is your heartbeat. Thank you that you paid the price for us to be rescued from darkness, from addictions, to the negative outputs and limitations of this world, to walk in the kingdom of God in your victory that you won for us. And we just give you praise right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the honor and the privilege of being a part of this family and being a part of your family with what you're doing in our midst. And all the people said, amen. Amen.